Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store. And know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. I beg him please to open up his mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. And anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to, yes I can. Sing all I want to. Set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Very good, wasn't it? Hallelujah. I like that. That's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's excellent. You know, praise and worship. You know, Satan was a, as we said, I think Satan was, he was an instrument of praise. He was. The Bible said he had pipes and sound and music in him. I don't believe there was pipes shooting out of his body. I believe he had the ability within him to make all kinds of sounds and music. I believe he is a praise and worship leader of heaven. He had a third of the angels, and that's what they did. He was a worshiper, praiser. And God put within us the ability. We are an instrument. The Bible says we are the instrument. Psalms 150 says that for us, said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Said, praise Him on the string instrument. Praise Him on the flute instrument. Praise Him on the percussion instrument. God gives different one of us the ability inside. Some people has it inside them to do music upon an instrument. I don't have that. You can learn all the mechanics you want to learn going to a class or school or whatever, and you can learn all the chords, but you have to have that in you before you ever become a master at it. It has to be in you. You just do it. You are that. You're already that. You just hook up and find that instrument that's inside of you. Maybe you're a master guitar player and you don't know it, and it's in you. And when you find that, you become one with the guitar, or the guitar becomes one with you, and you're a master. But it's you. It's not the guitar. It's you. You hook up with, like Christy on the drums. See, she can prophesy on those drums. The Bible says that they prophesied on their instruments. They prophesied. They said something. The music they played said something. And prophecy, we know that Revelation said that prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. When you prophesy, you testify. Maybe you can play a wind instrument, and when you get that, it just becomes natural. Praise Him on the strings. Praise Him on the wind. Praise Him on the percussion. See, David created instruments. He made the instruments that he worshiped on. It was in him, and he just made what he had in him. He made an instrument. He married with that, and he made that to praise God. Everything is in us, human beings, to praise God is an instrument that was made for that purpose. Now, Satan is misused. But if you read Psalms 150, you know, like I said, there's a lot of things. Some things God changed from the old to the new. Jesus fulfilled the law and all that. But praise and worship just went straight on into the New Testament. He didn't change anything. He left the Psalms, book of Psalms. That's our book of praise and worship. That's our diagram. That's our blueprint. God never changed that. And so he finished out the book of Psalms and told us how, what to do. He said, praise Him on all the instruments. You're the praise. So you sit down and you have it in you, and you just begin to let what's in you come out through that instrument, and it just flows out of you. And people can write songs. It's inside of them. It just flows out of them. That's why I tell people, don't mimic another songwriter. Just get before God and let it flow out of you. There's a song of the Lord, which means there's something in you. It's prophetic, whatever. And it just comes out of you and flows. And there's new songs. There's songs to be sung that's never come from heaven yet. Some songs come from heaven, but they have to come through us. Everything on earth that comes from heaven has to come through us. There's no other way it can get here. It has to come through man. And so it flows out of us and flows the songs and the music David had in his tabernacle, and he set up his praise and worship. You know, and the Bible says that he'll restore the tabernacle of David. All the Old Testament temples and the stuff in the temple, he's not going to restore any of that. The Jews will, but not to the church. The only thing he's restoring is the tabernacle of David. Exactly the way David did it. And David had it 24/7. And he had people in the praise and worship service. He said, now when a song comes out of somebody, you write it down. And you record it. And they'd write down the words that came from heaven. And we can read some of them in the book of Psalms. He said, a psalm of so-and-so, a psalm of this, a psalm of that, put to the tune of this. Some of the songs, psalms were put to the tune of the songs of the day. It'd be like me having a psalm come out and I say, this is the song of the Lord put to the tune of Rocky Top. That could be. And they understood some of that. They said, put to the tune of so-and-so. It was a song that everybody was singing, but they took it and put the song of the Lord to it. And everybody sang that. See, the world copies the church. Now it's turned around. The churches start trying to copy the world. No, we've got it. They're looking for it. If we get over in the Spirit and flow in the Spirit, it'll come out of us again. Well, there's nothing in this of all the worship and praise. You know, if he'd have stopped, he'd have left me out. I want to worship you, God. I can't play an instrument. I can't play a string instrument or a wind instrument or percussion instrument or whatever. He said, but let everything that have breath. There's another psalm that says, the dead praise not God. You know, if you're in a lively church, a living church or a dead church, you can tell when the praise and worship starts. The dead praise not God. I can look out over the congregation and tell who's alive and who's dead. As soon as the song starts, the dead praise not God. Let everything that have breath, I'm breathing. So what's in me, I can join in. So I can say, start the instruments. And they start the instruments. Start the singers. And I can join in with my breath. You know, you can praise the Lord with, that's a praise to my God. That's a breath. You understand? Then he went on down and said, praise him in the dance. Wow. See, praise is an expression of what's on the inside of us. See, Mandy expressed. She expressed that song to us, and all of us could see, and we enjoyed that. There was an expression. That's all it is. When you play the guitar, you express. The wind instruments, you express. The percussion, you express. Well, he said, praise him in the dance. So you can't tell me that if you play the string instruments, that say everybody just grabs a string instrument and starts. We're going to have mass confusion. I don't think God intended it that way. I think he meant those that I've called and put in them, you all get together and practice. Then you practice. Then you practice the wind instruments, the percussion instruments. Then when I say, let's go, it's in harmony or in unity or one accord. That means they're all in one chord. Yeah. They're all playing the same chord. That's what that means. One accord, one chord. I don't know nothing about it, but I know you don't play a C with a D. I don't think. It like everybody has to be in the same chord. And when you get in the same chord, it's, wow, that sounds good. If you're not in the same chord, you're not in unity, and it's all off. And that sounds good. So when you start singing, I've heard them say, and they've got different harmony and bass and alto. I sing also. And they have to practice. You know what practice is? You just don't get up and start. Some people think they can sing. Some people can sing. Your mama always told you when you was little. You ever watch that America's Got Talent? Some of those people, their mama should have told them before they made a fool out of themselves. Boy, you no good. Go home. Stay home. Don't get out in the world. You can't sing a lick. Well, that hurts my feeling. You hurt my ears. Shut up. Sit down. I don't think you ought to hurt people's feelings. Yes, help them. You know, they'll appreciate it in life when they go on a little farther. Don't lie to them. Some things don't need encouraging. Find people who are good. Some people are really not masterful at singing, but they got a good voice and they can harmonize and fill in, but they're worshipers. That's who we look for here is worshipers. And you get together, I've heard them say, what key is that? Now, I don't know one key from the other. Like I said, I sing also. But it has to be all together. And they practice. And they practice. So if they practice, why can't you practice dance? Well, now, there's dancing in the spirit. You don't have to practice that. That's what I do. And it's just like, give me room when I start. But sounds to me like with all that God told us how to praise, that it should be that you could practice the dance. And it should be if the music's expression, and if the music is a talent, and if the music is a blessing, and if the music is edifying, it should be the dance is the same way. You know the devil stole the dance? I'll tell you, we'd work all week, you know, and spend all of our money on one night. Here we'd go. We'd all get dressed up, put on cleanest dirty shirt, my clean blue jeans, and wash and wax my car, and here we'd go. Well, you know, when you first get there, you just stand back, you don't dance, you don't do nothing. But then they got this stuff we call spirits. And you get a few of those spirits, and somehow or another, something comes on you. And you think you can dance. And it's not long. I used to come here at this place. There's a nightclub. And you get in the spirit. Wrong spirit. But we'd get in it. And boy, could we ever dance. And we had fun. We thought it was fun. That's what the world has fun. Spend all of our money. Music was loud. And we just hit the floor. Just everybody, a bunch of rednecks, none of them do nothing, just running in. But we was, you know. The devil stole the dance. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be ye filled. So he referred there to being filled with the Spirit as being like drunk in the natural. On the day of Pentecost, they said, these boys are drunk. Why'd they think they're drunk? Well, they're laughing and dancing and running around and having a good time. And so we call that fun. That was the cap to all you did. That was the ultimate. See, you'd get filled up with spirits, then you'd dance till you run out of time or spirits. And we'd dance. It wasn't really fun or the night until you danced. Everybody danced. They had that called fun. That's the world's way of relieving stress. If you're in the world on your way to hell, you have to have some way to relieve stress. No, don't fault them. You have to do something. Really. I mean, that's all you had. And you spend all your money on one night, go back to work next week, and do it all over again next Friday, Saturday night. But now, see, the devil copied. He stole it. But the Bible says, be ye not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, and get high on Jesus. Get high on the Spirit. Get high on the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Spirit, something happens to you. You start laughing, staggering, and the next thing you know, you're dancing. And it's our way of stress relief. Yeah. There's nothing like going to a good Holy Ghost meeting where everybody just breaks out and dances. Shouts, and you know, we've had them here, haven't we? Where you'd run, dance, woo, glory to God, it's all over me. And we'd dance. Well, I mean, that's in the Spirit, but here it says on purpose. You know, you can get in the Holy Ghost if you pick a guitar and just start picking and prophesying. We've done that, we've seen that. But you can do it on purpose and make a song and make a, you know, and you could do a dance on purpose to express. The Jews did it all the time. They did it. They still do it. But the church has lost that. And when we started doing it in the church, all religious people, it's all, you can't do that. That's church. You can't dance in church. Why not? You get to heaven, you'll dance. Everything should be done in proper order. Should be done with excellence. Has to be done with excellence. You notice our girls, how they're dressed. It's not a flesh show. I've been to some churches and the women up dancing. I thought, oh dear God, I thought back to nightclub. I say, put you some clothes on, girl. They think that all the men come to church is sanctified, but they're not. They're still flesh. You have to dress very modest, proper, and do it unto the Lord and worship Him. You do it to Him. You don't do it for people. You do it Him, you sing to Him, you play music to Him, you worship Him, and so we all get blessed. You know, as far as the girls dancing and all that, I could do without that. It wouldn't bother me, you know. But there's something about girls, they want to be part and they want to praise the Lord and they want to do something. And little girls dance. Men, little boys, they don't dance much. I remember what my little nephew said one time. They had a school dance when he was in elementary school, and he, like most boys, he used to stand over against the wall like this. He's a Creek Indian, you know. He's standing over like that. They said, come on, John, dance. He said, tough guys don't dance. So I got that, you know, that's what I say, tough guys don't dance. Men don't dance till we get drunk. Really? So if I can get everybody in the church here a little high. In the Holy Ghost. I'll get there, see. If I can get them a little high in the Holy Ghost, you'll lose all your inhibitions. You'll just lose it. You don't care. You'll just cut a rug. Same way in the natural is the spirit. The devil stole it. But thank God we're bringing it back, you know. Restoring the tabernacle of David. Bringing praise and worship back. Amen? So, you can do, I tell him, the pastor, I said, you know, he pastors over in Cherokee. And I said, it's fine if they, you know, the dancers want to dress in their Indian dress. Whatever your culture is, whatever, as long as you do it to the Lord. As long as you don't do it, you know, for some, it has to be to the Lord. You know, and do it right. Make it a worship. Like, Mandy, I enjoyed that, didn't you? That's my first sermon. Look over in Proverbs, and I'll give you number two. Proverbs chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Not many people really. Well, a lot of people do that now and dance. And, you know, I like to see the little girls, you know, we get them involved. If you get them involved in church, you know, they'll stay there. They got to have something they can do. Amen? And they love it. They love it. They love to dance. And some of these little girls have been, they're not little anymore. They've been doing it ever since they're little. So praise the Lord. Grew up in church. Praising the Lord. They get to heaven, see, there'll be a Myram and all of them. You know, they'll get their tambourine. We had to hide the tambourines, though. Dear God, hide the tambourines. Oh, Lord. We just had the old building. And when we first come in this one, we had some ladies that had time. We'd hide those tambourines where they'd find them. And we started hiding them better. I mean, dear Lord. Some people can't even play a tambourine. It's like, you know, get that thing away from her. Especially if you get two or three and they're not in the same chord. I don't know what key this in, but it was off. Proverbs chapter 1, amen, says this. In chapter 1, is that where you're at? I'm in chapter 7. No, I'm not, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7, Penny. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, something that we don't have much of anymore in church or in places, is the beginning. That means it's first. That's where you start. If you didn't know that, the beginning is where you start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, it doesn't say the fear of the Lord is knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word beginning means the chief place, the highest priority, the number one, uno in the Greek. No, that's Spanish. The beginning. The chief place, the fear of the Lord is the chief place of knowledge. That word fear, you know what that word fear means? It means reverence, other things. But it means extreme respect. Extreme respect. The fear of the Lord is extreme respect. Now, I got thinking about this afternoon. I was reading that. Now, you look at that, and you look at the church, and you look, and you can go in any way you want to go with it. If you don't respect the house of God, We talk about the fear of the Lord, but if you don't treat this as a house of God, if you treat this just as church, you won't get anything out of it. You won't honor it. You can't honor what you don't respect. To try to honor something you don't respect, you can't. I don't care how much you try to fake it or whatever, you can't honor what you don't respect. First, you have to respect it. And if you don't honor this building or respect this building here, you won't honor this building. If church is not respected to you, then you won't go there when you're supposed to. That's the problem with modern Christians. We don't respect the very institution of the church and going to church. You got to respect it on Tuesday night, Friday night, and Sunday morning, whenever it is. You have to have a higher respect. It has to be the first thing. First thing. If you don't, there's no way you'll honor it. It'll just be church. It'll just be, I can go if I want to, don't go if I don't want to, don't get much out of it. Amen? Well, what about the Word of God? How is it the Word of God doesn't affect some people? Well, they don't respect it. If you see, you won't honor this Word if you don't respect it for what it is. God said, I exalted my Word above my name. This is the Word of God. With due great respect. And with that comes great honor. Amen? Well, what about God Himself? What about the pastor? What about the offices in the church? You won't honor what you don't respect. Amen? You won't honor what you don't respect. Now, over in Romans, Chapter 1. Notice it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That one can obtain knowledge without God. I wrote this in my Bible. But knowledge is out of place apart from God. You don't have to have God to have knowledge. There's a lot of smart people in the world, a lot of knowledgeable people. But you think about it, it's out of place. It'll never find its place, and it won't work in society, and our society goes awry, and it goes off course and goes off track because it's out of place. God and the fear of God, the respect of God, has to come first, then knowledge will have an effect on society. You know, knowledge today in America is an idol. It's an idol. We've put knowledge above everything. You just heard about all of these people paying all this money to get their kids into colleges because they think that without that, they won't have any opportunity in life and they can't survive, can't make it. It's become an idol. But it's the wrong kind of knowledge. And apart from God, it can do you more harm than good. Knowledge. You don't have to have. Then you get knowledge. You get wisdom. Wisdom. See, you can have all kind of knowledge. I can have knowledge on flying an airplane. I can read all the books, but don't mean I can fly it. You understand? You got to have wisdom. Wisdom lets you know how to use your knowledge to benefit things good. Then after that comes understanding. Understanding is what you impart to the next generation, not knowledge. Just knowledge, you can destroy people. Just knowledge, You get the wrong kind of knowledge, but you get wisdom with it. What Proverbs says here. Solomon was smart. He said knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge, just knowledge alone, is not good. You try to impart knowledge to people. Well, what if you impart, you know, you came from monkeys. They're not very wise. You know, don't work. Over in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. What happened? The respect for God gone. We've lost the respect for God. We've lost it for the house of God's concern. No respect for even the Sabbath. When I grew up, we respected the Sabbath. My dad didn't go to church. None of them went to church, but you wouldn't get him to work on Sunday. There was a deep respect there. And with that come a deep honor. And there was a deep respect for Christians. We were lost as a duck in a snowstorm, but we respected Christians. We respected the man of God. We respected a preacher. If you was at the store and all the men in there talking and chewing tobacco and spitting, cussing, all that, a preacher walk in, the whole atmosphere changed. They respected that. And honor came with that. It was different. You know, the African-American still have that. That's why all their leaders, that's most of them corrupt, leading them the wrong way, they called themselves reverend. Because when they call themselves reverend, they earn a deep respect from everybody else just by saying they are. And they're not really reverend. They just say they are, and with that, they get a respect. It's a dangerous thing when we lose respect for the things of God. Amen? You have to. That's why you teach your kids. You teach them to respect the house of God. You know, we teach our kids, you don't run in the house of God. This is the house of God. That's why I still dress like old-fashioned. You know, the way I dress now is old-fashioned. Why do I do this? Deep respect. You don't have to dress like this to go to church. You don't have to dress like this to preach. But I just grew up like this. I just, you know, my granddaddy, when he went to church, he put on his best. He had working overhauls and church overhauls. You didn't work in your church clothes, and you didn't church in your work clothes. He come home, he take his church overhauls off and hung them up, put on his other overhauls. He had a church hat that he wore. He had a work hat. He wore that work hat. He had a church hat. He had a church shirt. White shirt. It buttoned all the way up. And these overhauls, that's what he wore. And you got the church, Baptist. You was quiet. You respected. Everything was deep respect. We was growing up, you know, as kids, teenagers. Listen, I remember one time when I was little, we was walking by the church, and me and my cousins, and went in the church, and the church doors were never locked. Why? Respect. And I went in a little old Sunday school, and I stole 10 pennies. And that bothered me so bad. There's 10 pennies in a little old box there, and I got them. Thought I'm going to buy me some candy, you know. That bothered me so bad, I didn't hardly sleep a bit that night. I went back over there the next day and put them 10 pennies back in there. We didn't go to church. I wasn't a Christian. But it's just, it was just in the air. It was in everybody. And if you, I remember hearing old sinners, old men, a little kid, somebody come around cussing around, you know, a preacher or a Christian, boy, they'd get fighting mad. Boy, you shut your mouth. And no such thing as that anymore. And with that, honor goes out. See, when we take up an offering here, you know, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Well, the offering is a time of great respect for that offering. This is God's money. It's not mine. I can't touch this. The tithe, this is God's. And it, with that, you'd honor it. Amen? Praise the Lord. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made of corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Therefore, God gave them over to uncleanness and lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies, who exchanged the truth of God to a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, even the women exchanged, and they became lusting after men, women after women. And it goes on to say the depravity and everything they got into. And it says here that they dishonored their own body. They dishonored. In other words, they had no more honor for their body. They lost respect for the very fact of who their body is, of what their body is. They're so confused now, men think they're women, women think they're men, and some of them don't know what they are. I was reading the other day where they said 53 genders. How do you have 53 genders? Now, you think we're not messed up in society? What? We've lost respect for our own body. The Bible says our body is created in the image of God. Our bodies is the temple of God, even as Christ. And if you don't respect your own body, you won't honor your own body as unto the Lord. Amen. Over in 2 Peter, we'll read. Chapter 2. Peter talking about the last day. Him and Jude must have copied papers because they're just alike. And there are also false prophets among the people, even there will be teachers among them who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. That way means the only way, saying that Jesus is the only way. That's what that's saying there. Saying that, that there's more ways than just one. Bringing in destructive heresies, saying that he is not the only way. Now that's what that's saying. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceitful words, or deceptive words, molded words, or plastic words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, for God did not spare the angels who fell. Verse 5, did not spare the ancient world of Noah in the flood, and turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, making them ample examples, making them examples for all of those who would come afterwards. Lot, the righteous man, now look, notice verse 10, and especially those who walk according to their own flesh, in lust of uncleanliness, who despise authority, who have lost all respect for authority. Now, this is the last day. Lost respect for authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak against authority. Wow. Why? No respect. Lost respect for authority. Now, Jude says pretty much the same thing. Romans chapter 13, if you look over there, who have lost respect for God's authority. That's dangerous. We don't understand that. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1, let all, every soul be subject to a governing authority. For there is no authority except from God, and all authority that exists is appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, people... Andrew was telling me tonight about a minister, and I see that, I know, you know, I mentioned that somebody in their church just went haywire, just talked all against the pastor, said all kind of vicious things against the pastor, attacked them verbally, went and removed their website, everything off the intertube, tried to do everything in they could to shut them down or hurt them or stop them. I don't know. And these people grew up in church. They've always been around church. And I've seen people, you know, even here, not as much as other places, some of the things... And it's not as much as church authority. You look in our society now. You look about the law enforcement. I mean, there is absolutely no respect now for authority. And God says it will bring swift judgment. Losing respect. It's a spirit. Peter said that it would happen in the last days. Jude said the same thing, it would happen in the last days. Losing the respect of God. It all goes back to the house of God. It all goes back to the things of God. When you lose the respect of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, that knowledge, it'll tell people, listen, if you do that, you're going to bring swift destruction on you. You won't live out your life. You will not live out the fullness of your life. Now, God speaks in the Bible about honor. And there's benefits to honor. He even tells us, if you will respect your parents, now, sometimes we throw that word honor in there, and I've had people come up and tell me and talk to me later, said, it's hard for me to honor my father because he abused me when I was small. It's hard for me to honor my mother because she left me, or things like that. And I understand that totally. And in the natural, it's impossible. You can't do it. Just like it's impossible in the natural to forgive. You can't. It's impossible. Peter even tried to get away with it. He said, Lord, how many times have I forgive anybody? Seven times? At the eighth time, I'm going to knock him out. Peter trying to find a loophole. And Jesus said, 70 times seven, Peter. One day, buddy. And then Peter said, I forget it. It's impossible. You can't do it. But by faith, you can do it. You just have to do what the Bible says. And if you'll put this over here, respect. Now, you don't respect them for what they did. You don't respect them for how they were mother and dad. You don't respect all that, but you respect the fact that they are your mother and dad. The institution, the office, the office. You respect that. Look at our nation. You look what's going on in Washington. Our nation is all to pieces. There is no respect now for one party has lost total respect for the office of the president. And thereby, they're not honoring the office of the president. It didn't say you had to agree with them. It didn't say you had to like them. But you better respect them. The respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't have the knowledge if this will kill you. This will take you out. This will bring swift destruction on you. You can't do that. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Now that's in the church. But that goes everywhere. All authority is given by God. If that policeman pull you over, you better respect that uniform. You don't have to like that guy, but you better respect that uniform. You better respect that office. Because if you don't, the Bible says it will be to your hurt. It will be, if you keep reading that, it will be to your hurt. Well, if we don't respect the office of our president, and if we try to overthrow him, and we try to bring him down, and they try to do what they're doing to him, then what they're doing, they're bringing swift destruction on themselves. They won't last. There is a sin, the Bible says, unto death. Now, that is a spiritual sin and a natural sin. There are some sins that will take you out where you will not live your full life on this earth. And one of the main sins, especially in the church, that will hinder you from fulfilling your destiny and you living a full life is this not respecting God. It starts with God. Well, I don't like that pastor. I'm not respecting him, and I'm not honoring him. I have nothing to do with it. No, it's God, honey. It's God. Well, I don't like the policeman. They stop me. I am not doing a thing they say. No, it's God. Well, I'd hate that president. It's God, honey. It starts with, if you don't fear the Lord, respect God, then your knowledge, you have none. You may think you're smart, but you're not. Amen? And there's a fear that comes. You know, we can say, well, I like God, but I'll tell you one thing, I don't like nobody else. I just don't like people. Well, you better, because it's God, you know. It's the office. You can't honor what you don't respect. It's impossible. You say, well, I can't respect them. You better respect them for who they are in Christ. I told a couple that was married, and separating all that, lady is telling me, you know, she hated him. I said, well, you might not love him as a husband, but you better love him as a brother. Because if you don't, you're the one going to hurt. You can't do that. Amen? That's why the Bible said love never fails. We've lost this thing in our society, really, you look at it, called respect. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. You look in their school system, the kids don't respect the teachers. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. All he had to do was turn over there to Proverbs chapter 1, read verse 7. And he said, all I have to do is get the people to lose respect for authority. And if I get them to stop respecting, then I've got them. I highly respect church. Sunday is church day. That's what we do. Friday is church night. That's what we do. Amen? If you set your respect on that, you'll set your honor on that. And what you honor, you'll follow. Honor, if it's in your heart, it'll come out. If it's not in your heart, you can't get it out. Amen? Well, stand up with me. Did you enjoy that? Just keep your respect. Praise the Lord. If we respect one another, then we'll honor each other. And if you respect the person, you have no problem submitting to the person. I've seen marriages where they lost respect for each other. And when they lose respect for each other, they lose honor for each other. And when they lost that, you've lost something. Amen? Might as well get that paper out. But you have to love them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fear of the Lord, the respect, the high respect for God. Comes down on everything, Lord. If we honor you, then we honor what you set up, what you created, and we follow you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you for Pastor Tim, Lord, and his church. We bless them, Lord. We respect and honor him. We want you to bless them. Do them good, Lord. Help them. Increase his anointing. Increase his ability. Increase his finances. Increase his church. Bless them good, Lord. We ask you to do that. We give you all the glory for everything you've done for us. Without you, God, we're nothing. You gave us respect for ourselves. And we lose that respect for ourselves, we've really lost something. You gave us this life, we respect it. You gave us a job to do, we respect that. You gave us a calling, we respect that. We'll hold it in high esteem too, Lord. And we'll never dishonor you. Never dishonor you. Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Bless you.